Great, special, old song that we love to sing around here, the Bible Baptist Church. Welcome to our services tonight, and we pray that the Lord will bless our services this evening in a very special way. Your Bible, please, with me tonight. The book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Mamelsi, I need my programs, order of services, the Lord's Supper. Can you please take them? My apologies sa mga deacons tonight. Something happened sa kong barong. So I'm supposed to wear a barong Tagalog gabi. So, thank you, Sir Greg. I have it here. I am aware that halos tanambalay karon ay mga sakit. So let's pray for our people and pray for a great service this evening. I have it already. So, okay lang. Okay na, John. I have it already. 23:39-45. Would you please rise tonight? Luke 23, verse number 39 up to verse number 45. Let us share a Bible tonight. Verse number 39 up to verse number 45. We will read this all together. Karong gabi, dunganan nato tanan. Verse 39 to 45. Go. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" And he did justly. He received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, darkness over all the land, and the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight, this is a solemn part of our services tonight. But this is a time of communion, a time that we commemorate the Lord's table. And as we partake tonight, Lord God, we know how serious it is for us as God's people. Remembering the dead, it reminds us of our condition before. It reminds us of the death of Christ, the old death that he endured in our behalf. Tonight I pray that you enable thy servant to preach the word of God, and your people may have the connection we need. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Kindly be seated tonight. I'm speaking a subject this evening entitled "The Old Rugged Cross Makes the Difference." The old rugged cross makes the difference. Notice verse number 39. It says, "One of the male factors which were hung railed on him in saying, 'If thou be,'" he says, he was already hanging on that cross. He said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Save thyself, he says, and us. This said to severely scorn actually Jesus. He railed on him, meaning he ridiculed him. He was mocking Jesus. He was making fun of Jesus. And it says again, verse number 39, one of the male factors. Well, he was making fun of Jesus. Well, he was trying to ridicule Jesus. And we can look at verse 20. The first three words in verse 40 says, but the other. Amen? But the other. But the other. I'm glad tonight that this one, in spite of the fact that this one, the first person, the one who remained hardened up to his death, last minute of his life, in spite of this one rejected him. The other one mocked him. But the other one believed and thanked the Lord. He was gloriously saved. He was gloriously saved. Friends surrounding the cross of Christ that day were multitudes of people who were demanding for his crucifixion. In 20 and 21, look at verse 20. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus. He knew that Jesus Christ was not guilty. He knew that Jesus Christ was innocent. In fact, three times he said, I want to announce publicly that I find in him no fault at all. In verse number 21, but they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And in Matthew 27, let us all open the Bible there, verse 26, reminds us of what some of the things that took place during the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, verse number 26, please, in your Bible. Verse number 26, it says, then release the Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged him, it will take so much time for us to explain what a scourging punishment is. Roman scourging. It will just open wounds on your back. When he had scourged him, he delivered him to be crucified. In verse number 27, then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, probably 500, 600 soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. It was yaga ilang ibuhat. It was to make more shame of him, make fun of him. And when they had plaited the crown of thorns, they put upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him. And they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Verse number 39. Verse 39. It is when they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And then also look at verse number 4, saying, thou that destroys the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He trusted God. Verse number 43. I'm glad that in spite of the fact that there are so many who rejected him, so many who reject him, people that despise him, but I'm glad to know tonight, saves others. But the other, thank the Lord, kept on making fun of Jesus Christ. And if you be the Christ, save, if you're really the Son of God, save yourself and us. Verse number 39 in our text, but verse 40 says, not the other. There are so many people that still continue to despise the Lord. But I'm glad tonight to know that he is still in the saving business. Glad to say yes. There are so many that do not believe in him, but we are among the many others who believe in him. Amen. The majority of people in our city tonight refuse to believe on Jesus, but there are people inside the Bible Baptist Church that believe and be counted among others. I'm glad Jesus saves others. And I'm glad tonight that I'm one of the many others. One of the many others. Look at verse 14. Verse number 14, Luke 23. And verse number 40, please. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," I like that. Verse 43, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Verse 40, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. I'm interested in verse 43, which is the reply of Jesus to this repentant. We call him the repentant sinner, repentant thief. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Aren't you glad tonight that the old rugged cross makes the difference? Aren't you glad tonight that the old rugged cross still makes the difference? Oh, thank God. I'm glad to know that when Jesus died, Calvary, I look at Calvary. Calvary touched a lot of things. This past few Sundays, we had a series of messages. We had a series of what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross, on Calvary's cross. First, there was the darkness that fell all over the land. Then there was the veil of the temple was torn in two. Then the earth did quake and the rocks went. I will continue that message probably Medical Sunday. We may have that message, the last part of the message, a series of messages. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And it says the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints, they were literally buried. And those that slept arose. They came out of the graves and come out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city, literally the city of Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Let me say this. Six miracles that took place when Jesus Christ died on the cross. We cannot explain them. But we cannot explain them. Those are wonderful things that happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But let me say this tonight. I don't believe Calvary touches anything. Calvary touches anybody any greater than it did this repentant thief that was dying on the cross. He was touched by what he saw, what he heard. And let me tell you, if you don't believe the old rugged cross still makes the difference, look at this thief. Look at this man who was dying. At one moment, he is only one step away from the devil's eternal hell. Just one step away. But all of a sudden, you find him now walking with Jesus. Few minutes after he's walking with Jesus, entering heaven's gate, Jesus throughout eternity in a place called heaven. Wow. I say it all still makes the difference. And if you and I have the chance to ask him, if those saints in heaven have the chance to ask him, and they would say, if you and I could ask him a few moments ago, you were on the cross, hanging there as a notable criminal. You have killed people, and you're even qualified to live in in one of the worst town or barangay or Purok, even qualified to live there. Now you're living in a kingdom. Amen. You're living here. Nobody probably would say, well, we will release him and then I will transfer him to such a barangay. The barangay captain would probably say, well, we don't need him. He's a criminal. But when Jesus Christ responded to him, Jesus Christ said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Thou shalt be with me in heaven. Now walking with Jesus on the streets of heaven. And we ask, probably they may have asked, what happened? What happened? You ask me what happened? You ask me why? I cannot explain why. The only thing I know, the old rugged cross has made all the difference in my life. Amen. I remember the song, Old Rugged Cross. I can almost see that man walking in heaven, singing the song, Old Rugged Cross. It was alive, filled with aimless desperation. Without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life begun. And the old rugged cross made a difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. Imagine walking around him. People were amazed and people would ask, what happened? And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. The cross still makes the difference. As this thief walks, shouting and praising God on heaven's road, some saints in glory may have asked him, what happened? And he would say, there's one most remarkable thing that took place. There's only one most remarkable thing that happened. I have met the Savior at the cross. I never dreamed of meeting him, of knowing him. But one day I met the Savior at the cross. And I'm glad, I say again, because I have met the Savior at the cross. Have you met him at the cross? I say again, I have met the Savior at the cross. Not when I was baptized. In fact, I was never baptized. Not when I was trying to do some good works. In fact, I didn't have any chance to come down off the cross doing something good. I met the Savior at the cross. And we say amen to that. Hanging there as vile, a criminal, receiving due punishment of my wrongdoings. I was vile and ugly and cruel. But Jesus saved me as I was. He took me exactly as I was. When I cried to him for help and forgiveness, Jesus took me. He forgave me. He gave me assurance of heaven. He saved me. Not gradually, but he saved me. Thank God for that. He saved me instantly. Praise God for that. He said, today thou shalt be with me. Not the next day. There would have been no any chance for me to be saved. If he says, maybe next time, maybe the next day, maybe next week, I'll have the chance to save you, but today, thank God for that. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let's look tonight at this theme real closely tonight. Let's see how it reminds us. How it reminds us of who we were and what we were when we met Christ at the cross. Amazing grace, sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did the grace appear the hour I first believed. There are two thoughts tonight. Notice, first of all, his sinful life in the past. Look at this man, and the first thing I realize I see about him, I want to look at his sinful life in the past. We want to investigate the background of his life. We want to get to know more about him. Even though Israel or the Jews were living in Jerusalem, they were not free. For at that time, Jerusalem was under the control of the Roman Empire. In fact, if you study the Bible carefully, and if you investigate the Bible, it seems like that because of Israel's rejection, you go to the Old Testament, because of the rebellion against God, they always found themselves in bondage to somebody. Whether it was Pharaoh, whether it was Belshazzar, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar, or even Nero in our text tonight. They were under the yoke of the Roman Empire. Nero was sitting as emperor Rome because of rejection of God. Instead of finding freedom, they always found themselves in bondage. And by the way, let me say this tonight. Rejection of God, rebellion against God, sin against God does not bring men freedom. It brings bondage. So, even though they're at home, they were not free. They were slaves in their own country. Slaves under the yoke of the Roman Empire. And so they were under the control of the Roman government at that time. Well, some men would get so aggravated to that and mad at the situation. So these men would gather some people together and they would cause insurrection. They would cause, try to create rebellion, trying to free themselves from the hand of the Roman Empire and trying to overthrow the Roman government, break the law, break the yoke of bondage that was upon them. In the New Testament, they're called the Zealots. We call them today the nationalist group. They're like General Aguinaldo and those heroes in our times. They were called the Zealots in the New Testament. These men despised Rome. They hated Rome. They were trying to take the law into their own hands and break the bondage from the Roman Empire. To better understand what happened to this man. There is another word in the New Testament in Luke 23:39, and that's the word male factors. What is a male factor? A male factor is man who designs and works evil. In other words, this man, to understand it better, they've been arrested, they've been tried, they've been found guilty, and the Romans invented execution actually to punish this man, to kill this man, to make an example out of them, to show to the rest of the world. Roman government was telling the world, you don't mess with us. You get executed if you try to raise insurrection against the government of Rome. Well, we come back to this man in our text. And here's a man that made some bad choices, actually. He committed sins and he's now dying. He's being crucified because of his past. He's being crucified. He's now reaping of bad choices he has made in his life. All of us here tonight, are aware of what it is like paying the consequences of our making of our own bad choices. If you study these male factors, if you study these criminals, you'll find that there were three crimes actually these male factors, these criminals were guilty of. Number one, they were guilty of rebellion. As mentioned, they would rebel against the law. They would take the law into their own hands, and they could not be tamed. They could not be taught because they were guilty of rebellion. That's number one. That man was guilty of rebellion. Number two, second crime they were guilty of, they were guilty of thievery. They would steal to support their movement, their rebellion, to support their insurrection. Number three, they were guilty of the crime they were guilty of is the crime of murder. So number one, rebellion. Number two, thievery. Number three, murder. Three major crimes that they were guilty of. As they begin to rebel, they steal. They would kill anybody that got in their way. In fact, if you study the scripture, you will find that there were three actually who were scheduled to be crucified that day. The other one was named Barabbas. Three men were guilty of the crime of rebellion, the crime of thievery, and the crime of murder. Look at this man whose rebellion has come back to haunt him, throwing him. And here's a man whose thievery has come back to haunt him. Here's a man whose style of murdering people has come back to haunt him. Karong kinasamo kasi sa konsensya while he was hanging on that cross. You may ask tonight, Pastor Ingay, this is now 2018. We're having services here in Guerrero. You ask preacher, what does the story has got to do with us? Many years ago. I'm glad you asked that because this man, looking at their condition, reminds us of our spiritual condition before the sight of God. Don't get me wrong, but all of us, outside of the grace of God, are guilty of those three crimes. Outside of the grace of God, we're guilty of the same rebellion, thievery, murder. Really? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And come short of the outside of the grace of God, they're guilty of the sin of rebellion. By the way, what is rebellion? I have never been a rebel. I've never tried to rebel against the government. I'm not a Maote, or I'm not an NPA, and I'm not a MILF. I've never been a rebel. What is rebellion? At first, you need to understand rebellion is unbelief. Rebellion means disobedience. It's rejection of God's will. It's rejection of God's way. It's rejection of God's word. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53 verse number 6. And we have turned everyone into his own way. That's rebellion. Rebellion. We're also guilty of the second sin that we mentioned tonight. We're also guilty of stealing. We're guilty of robbing. We're guilty of thievery. You say, Pastor, I never stolen anything. You might insist, I have never stolen anything from anybody. I've never stolen anything from my neighbor or any person for that matter. And let me remind you tonight, look at me. When God created you, He claimed ownership of you. He created you for His glory, His praise, and for His honor alone. The strength and the power He gives you. Those are all given for His glory, for His service, for His honor. The wealth He gives you are all meant for His glory and for His honor. Every amount of air you breathe in your lungs, your life, your body are all His and are all meant for His glory. And when you don't give back to God things that He deserves to have, you are simply stealing from God. Rob God, ang tao ba pwede mangawat sa Ginoo, makapangawat sa Ginoo? Again, everything belongs to God. If you can honestly look to God tonight with your life, everything, and say everything I am and everything I have belong to you. If everything belongs to you, and if you cannot say I'm serving Him in all that I am and all that I have, sovereign God of my life, if you cannot say that He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings of my life, I must serve Him. I must glorify Him. If you're not serving Him 100%, then I will tell you tonight, you're stealing something from God. You're rubbing something away from God. All of us are guilty, number one, of rebellion. It reminds us of our case, our situation, our spiritual condition. All of us are guilty of stealing away from God. They crucified, Luke 23, verse number 33, underlined there, and they crucified Him. Four words. And there they crucified Him. There they crucified Him. These five words sum up 18 hours of suffering. He hung for 6 hours, but before that He had been suffering for 18 hours. And they started crucifying Him. It sums up 18 hours of suffering. He had been arrested, tried, convicted in the mock trial. Why do you say mock trial? Because they produced false witnesses. Nothing was legal. Nothing was right in those investigations and in those trials. He had been abused by the temple guards, temple police. He had been abused, taken to Pilate, and he was abused by Pilate soldiers. He had been scourged. I wish I had the time to explain that. He had been beaten, spit upon. He had been crowned with thorns. He had been mocked. He suffered at Calvary. He was nailed to the cross. Nails were 7 inches long. And let me ask you, when they nailed Him to that cruel cross, when they mocked Him, when they said, "I'm not guilty of killing anyone. I'm not guilty of murder." When they crucified Jesus Christ, killed Him on that cross, I ask you tonight, for whose sin was He paying it for? For whose sin was He suffering it for? Everything He did on the cross. And I say, for whose sins was He suffering that for? It was not His own sin. He didn't have any kind of sin. The Bible says Jesus was spotless. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He was holy. He was harmless. He was separate from sinners. Friend, the reason why Jesus died on the cross was because of your sins and my sins. Amen. If you look at the cross, surely it was you and me who were guilty of nailing Jesus on that cross. It was your sin and my sins that nailed Him there. It was not the Roman soldiers that nailed Him there. It was your sin. It is you and me guilty of crucifying Jesus. The case of this man reminds us of who we were and what we have been. We're guilty of rebelling against God. We're guilty of stealing from God. We're guilty of killing the Lord. You might say, "Oh, I want to see the person that nailed Jesus on the cross. I wish one day I would be able to see the person that really nailed Him on that cross." Gusto na ko makita ang mga tao naglansang kang Kristo Jesus. If you want to see the ones that nailed Jesus on the cross, you can tonight. Kabalo ka ba nga pwede niyo sila makita? How will I see them? All you have to do is go home and look at the mirror. Look at your hands. And you find the hands that have drove the nails. You will find the hands that drove the rusty nails into his hands. The hands that drove those rusty nails are your hands. Amen. Bear our sins. Bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, it was our sins, it was our iniquities, it was our hell, it was our condemnation, our hell. Jesus died on the cross. Should live unto righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. I look at the crucifixion, everything they did, as I imagined a while ago, and I kept on writing. In fact, maglisod ko, basa sa kong, because I was trying to imagine, and I kept on writing down. As I look at the crucifixion, everything they did, everything points back to my eyes as I look there. Everything says guilty. Every movement they made, every angle they had reminds me. They speak to me of one word. They would say guilt. The hands, the very hand of Calvary is pointed at me and said guilt. I look at the crowns of thorns and the crown of thorns on his head and it tells me guilty. Because look at this crown, cruel thorn. I look at the blood. I look at the lacerated back of Jesus Christ. I look at the wounds. I listen to the mockery. I listen to everything they did. I look at their action towards Jesus Christ, humiliating Jesus Christ. I can listen every blow that strikes the face of Jesus Christ, that it was so deformed. Imagine 600 soldiers would beat him, would box him one after another. I listened to those sounds, and every amount of sound that I hear would tell me, because you are guilty. You are guilty. And then they took a mallet, a hammer, and then 7 inches nail, and they laid the body of Jesus Christ on that cross, wooden cross. And he lifted the mallet, Roman soldier, and then strike. And I can listen as it opened wounds here. Katong ugat gyud nga can cause somebody to get paralyzed. They're good. Katong ginaigo na tong ugat asa kay ma-paralyze. I listened at every blow of that mallet. And every sound would say to me, because you are guilty. 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 Who's guilty? Me. Me. As I look at the cross, it reminds me, number one, of his sinful life in the past. Look at the cross tonight. As we look and celebrate the Lord's table tonight, do you see yourself before you were saved? See your past sinful life. And then number two, because I have to hasten myself, as I look at the cross, I also see horrible guilt of sin that requires punishment. His horrible condition. His horrible guilt. He was guilty. That requires, because he was guilty, he was found guilty. You and I are guilty. So therefore it requires punishment. The punishment is hell. We're supposed to go to hell. Verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly probably received the due reward about this, but this man had done nothing. He had done nothing to deserve dying on that cross. But he died there because of your sins, because of your guilt and my guilt. He was enduring the punishment that was meant for you and me. And this man realized Jesus Christ died as payment for his sin. As a sinner, he made the plea to God, remember me. And then thirdly, I have to skip this, proceeding to the third point tonight. I see him tonight, assured death. Minutes from now, he will be dead. This man, I see him hanging on that cross. I see him facing a sure death, but thank God. Minutes before the cold hand of death took hold of him. Just minutes from now, cold hand of death will take hold of him. Will take hold of his body. But thank God tonight, before the cold hand of death was able to reach him, Jesus already got the full possession of his soul. Thank the Lord for that. You will be with me. You will be with me. Minutes from now, his body will be dead, but his soul will go to Jesus. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man finally realized that when everything here on earth can no longer help you. When money, when friends, when connections, when you come to the point that all of these things can no longer help you. Nobody can help you, your family, your friends. Nobody could come and help him that can help him. Thank God he found the right person to help him. He cannot come down off the cross and say, I need to be baptized. I need to be a member of a church. No, no. Religion can no longer help him. His friends can no longer help him. But Jesus Christ, and the only one that can help him is Jesus. This man finally realized the greatest need in his life, his greatest need in life is salvation. Sir, look at the other one, the male factor remained. other male factor, he remained a hardened sinner up to his death, as he still suffering in hell now. I find him still suffering in hell and will be there forever. He had the privilege to see the Lord. He had the privilege to hear it. Listen to me, if you still refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you this. Let me say a few things to you. What keeps you from being saved? What keeps you? I tell you, nothing that you're living for. I said, well, I cannot be saved because of this and that. I love this and I love that. What keeps you from being saved? You might tell me so many other things. I tell you, nothing you are living for outside of Jesus Christ is worth dying for. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Tonight, you hear the word of God. God is bringing to you conviction. God is, you know, the message you hear tonight, a wake-up call from the Lord. God is telling you, you need to be saved now. There's only one way you can be saved. Believe, by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be lost forever. As I look at that man who remained hardened up to his death, and he's in hell tonight, still suffering in hell. He will be in hell tomorrow. He will be in hell the next week. He still be in hell next year and throughout all eternity. I look at him, I say to you tonight, remember you're living on borrowed time. The Lord will not always call you. He will not call you forever. But a set a day when you enter eternity lost without him, he you will be there in hell. Jesus is calling you. Do not delay. If you hear Him calling you to salvation, please do not delay. This man, this believing thief went to the cross. I cannot help but admire his faith. Remember, it was his first time. Three of them were scheduled to die. First time, he had been killing people, robbing people. He had that hardened heart. He wants to liberate his country. As a result, he had done so many. When the Abu Sayyaf was trained by a former president, they were trained, actually, the Abu Sayyaf, you were aware of that. They were trained to help as our representative trying to help Afghanistan. That is the story of my elect, the Abu Sayyaf, Ramin. They were trained and supported by a former president so that they will help the Afghans. They gave them guns. And after that, no, puto lang ilang ambisyon mo to Afghanistan, naging Abu Sayyaf. This is what happened to this man. Prostration of life has caused him to become sick, to kill and rob other people. And he had no hope for this world. He was dying. Can you imagine? This is the first time seeing the Lord. For the very first, he had never seen, he had never heard of him before. It was the first time. See, imagine in his dying moment asking another dying man for hope for the future. That is, we say that's incredible. But the body would say that's fabulous. Here's a dying man asking another dying man for hope of eternity whom he had never seen before, he had never met before. That's how amazing the Holy Spirit can take hold of your heart. And this man looked at Jesus Christ. He did not see him as a dying victim of the Roman system. He saw him as God. Dost thou not fear God? He saw him as a perfect in somebody perfect in righteousness. He had done nothing amiss. He saw him as God. He calls him Lord. He saw him as someone conquering death. He said, you will die. Yes, you will die because it is a sure death awaiting for us a few minutes from now. But remember, after this, all of the process we're going through, I know it will end a few minutes from now. You will die. And they probably put you in the grave, but you will not stay on that grave. Jesus Christ died. He was buried, but he did not stay on that grave. 3 days and 3 nights, he rose from the grave. And he had that faith because he said, remember me when thou comest. That is not the end of everything. You will be going to your kingdom. He didn't say, remember me when you sit again in your city hall or in your senate office or in Malacanang, remember when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, Jesus Christ is Lord, as Savior, as someone who has the authority to save, he is so. Notice three things and I will close. Notice three things about his saving faith. Number one, he was honest about his own sins. Number two, he became convicted that Jesus was the one who he claimed to be. His Lord. Number three, he was willing to call on Jesus for the greatest need, which is the salvation of his soul. You can call upon Jesus Christ now and be saved. Tonight, if you've never been saved, you can. Remember the reason why he died on that cross. The reason why, because of your sins and my sins. All rugged cross still makes the difference. Let us all stand at peace. As we close our eyes and bow our heads, do you recall pain, the shame he endured for you. He deserves our praise. He deserves our service. You may want to come tonight at the altar just simply before I say tonight, before I partake the Lord's table. The message, God has reminded me of who I was before I got saved. It reminds me of the pain you endured on the cross, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that. Just a simple words of thanksgiving to him. Just thank him and praise him for who he is and what he has done on the cross for you. Heavenly Father, words cannot fit, Lord. Would not be enough. Would not be able, Lord, to describe the wonderful love and grace that you have shown through Jesus Christ, your Son. We deserve to die in hell. We deserve to suffer in hell. But your Son took every pain and shame so that we might be set free from condemnation of hell. Lord, help us to be thankful to you. If there is someone here not saved, touch that heart to be saved tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What song are we going to sing?
Let's sing song number 46, Jesus Paid It All.
Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Look at the cross and everything that you observe around that sin. You're reminded, everything tells you, guilty, 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 because you're guilty. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be the one to endure all the rejection, the suffering, and the pain. But he paid everything in your behalf. Laid on him the iniquity of us all. Tonight, before you partake the Lord's table, something that you need to settle with the Lord. Thing in our Christian life. Come, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. There is power in the blood of Jesus. You come tonight as we sing this verse prayerfully, humbly. Verse 1 of this song. Come on now.
I hear the Savior say,
how about you tonight?
Thy friend indeed is more.
Will you come tonight?
Walk and pray.
Just meet God at the altar.
Indeed,
say yes to God.
All.
There is forgiveness at the cross.
Jesus,
there is peace at the cross. There is strength at the cross.
To him you come. I owe.
Humbly, sin prayerfully come.
Left
he's waiting for us.
Stick.
He's waiting for us.
He washed it white as snow.
One more verse. This is the last verse we're going to sing. Come on now. Verse 2.
Lord,
will you come?
Will you come? Indeed I find.
Will you come? Will you come?
Thy power and thine alone.
Come on now.
And change.
Come now.
The leper's
part. Come now and say yes to God.
And melt the heart of stone.
Jesus paid it all. Yes.
Jesus. Jesus
paid
it
all.
All to him I owe.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
He washed it white as snow.
And all of God's people say amen. Remain standing. please. Before we partake the Lord's table, let us have prayer individually. And we'll take about 2 minutes time of prayer. And that is to look into our hearts. And if there's something we need to settle with the Lord, or if there's a dedication we need to make, let us all close our eyes, please. And then later on I will close. Dear God, tonight, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the church. When you have put us to serve them, help us to continue loving our church. To support our church. Help us, Lord, to be willing to stand behind the leadership of the church. Make us strong, dear Father. So that after 60 years, the church will continue to reach out more and more souls to be saved. In Jesus' name, I commit these things tonight. Amen and amen. Remain standing, please. May I now call the men who will assist me to find their places? All the men, please.
Heart of God, please.
was Christ the Lamb of God. Precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story. Heart of God's redemption of man, glory to the Lamb. Here as now I stand, worshiping the Lamb of glory. Worshiping the Lamb of glory.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance. Twice he said, in verse 24-25, twice he said, this do in remembrance of me. These two verses talk about the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Both of these bring to mind the remembrance of his suffering and pain. When we take the elements of the Lord's table, we have to remember that Jesus Christ suffered horribly for us to save us. We also remember his sacrifices. The fact that Jesus Christ died was in human body. Speaking of the sacrifices he made to redeem us. He became man. He lived and died in this world to redeem the lost. He suffered shame, rejection, poverty, pain, and death. When the bread, the juice are passed around a little while, we take time to remember what Jesus did for us, what he did for you. And all of God's people say, amen. Take the bread. Here.
Sure.
tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Thank you. In verse 23-24, I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is the body, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He died as a sinner substitute. Jesus did not die as a martyr. He died as a savior, a sinless substitute. The word bear means to carry a sacrifice. The Jewish people did not crucify criminals, they stoned them to death. But if the victim, especially evil, his dead body was hung on a tree until the evening as a mark of shame. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. Jesus died on a tree, a cross, and bore the curse of the law. Galatians 3, 20. Christ was wounded that we might be healed. He died that we might live. The cross of Christ reminds us of a brutal, awful death that he experienced. The death Christ died on the cross was one of absolute torture. You and I cannot bring to imagine all the pain that Jesus Christ endured for our sake. Tonight, you take, as you take the bread, repress your mind, your heart about the terrible price Jesus paid for you as he suffered sin that day. Remember, he was scourged, he was beaten, spit upon, stripped naked, and nailed to the cross. Take, he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, and we never cease to thank you for the life of your Son, Jesus. And we're reminded again tonight, in our behalf. Thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Eat all of it now. Verse 25. After the same manner, he also took the cup. I continue reading verse 25. Cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Peter reminded his readers that all of us regularly need. This is one reason our Lord Jesus Christ established the Lord's Supper, so that regularly his people would remember he died for them. First of all, he reminded them of what they were. They were slaves who needed to be set free. Peter not only reminded them of what they were, but he also reminded them of what Jesus Christ did. He shed his precious blood to purchase us from our slavery, out of slavery, sin, and set us free forever. To redeem means to set free by paying a price. A slave could be freed with the payment of money, but no amount of money can set a lost sinner free. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us. Revelation 5 verse 9, they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. It has set us free from sin. It continues to cover us powerfully. Lord, provide us the power, the ability, the strength to endure, protection from the devil. And Lord God, tonight, thank you again for the blood of Jesus. And we will forever praise you for the blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Drink all of it now.
From your burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Good you or evil, a victory win, there's wonderful power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are your garments spotless or they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be broader, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since things are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Can you lead the congregation? What page is that? Power in the blood. Go ahead and lead the congregation before I pray. Power in the blood. And sing it on top of your voice tonight.
Let's open our songbooks to hymn number 75.
Sing it loud tonight.
Hymn number 75. Altogether, verse 1, sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you for evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb,
of the Lamb,
there is power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Verse 2.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood, come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working power.
In the precious blood of the Lamb.
That's great. And all of God's people say amen. Amen. Please extend a hand and say, I'm happy to see you. And what a great service we have tonight. We have our mission people from Tagum and Bungkayo. So they're here to join us in our Lord's Supper service. Here. Mark wants to meet with the characters of the and orchestra choir members. No more? Huh? Okay. Including all the choir members, cantata, orchestra, characters. Where do you meet? Here? Okay. So, all of you after the service, we welcome our people from Tagum. Amen. And Mongkayo, is there anyone else from our mission churches that are here tonight? Okay. We will be dismissed in prayer. I guess I will meet with the youth leader, Arna Domingo, since you have your... I'm planning to have a youth Sunday. Youth Sunday is the youth will preach, moderate, sing in the choir, and then take the offering. All of us, mga old people, will sit down that day. And it will be in the hands of the young people. So, and all of God's people say amen for that. Amen. Amen. Now, just give them a chance to learn. It's time. And I seriously and humbly asking the church to pray for me. The other night, they have enrolled me back sa Louisiana Baptist University. I'm finishing my degree there. So I know it's hard. You know, the standards of states. It's a university. Di ko gusto maulawan, so please pray for me. It adds more in my study. I need to catch up sa study so that I can further increase the knowledge of our preachers. My purpose is to help our preachers gain more knowledge. And it's really, really a blessing and a challenging work. So I need your prayer, please. And so we will be dismissed in prayer tonight. Let us close our eyes, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the services this evening, this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your people and the God that is here tonight. Lord, we commit everything to you. Our future plans, our ministry. Always, Father, we believe there is power in the blood. Dismiss us with your smile and blessing tonight. This has been a great day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Say, hands one with another, please.